This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 6th of November 2015. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. This show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. In today's show, we'll be talking with Tim Hart of The Graw Group. It's a social enterprise marketing agency with a difference. What's the difference and what does Graw mean? Keep listening to find out. You're going to hear about how to create a customer persona as well from Tim. Also in the show today, we have Marie Mackay. She's the Global Head of Social Enterprise at the British Council. I interviewed Marie at the recent Critical Mass event that took place in London and brought social investors along with social entrepreneurs to London for 2 days of debate, discussion and conference about impact investing. If you missed last week's programme, which featured Charlie King talking about Small Business Saturday and a range of upcoming events, along with Jill Ashton talking about networking, don't forget you can find that on the Sheffield Live website. Just go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, go to Business Live, find the podcast, and the show from the 30th of October is still there. And of course, talking about podcasts, you can find a wealth of other exciting shows from Motown and Northern Soul to folk to rock to reggae to sport discussion to chat, all on the Sheffield Live website. So if you can't hear a show live, remember you can listen to it on the podcast afterwards. Before we turn to today's guests, a quick update with business news. Britain's music industry has contributed over £4 billion to the UK economy in 2014. Helped along by the global success of stars such as Sam Smith and Ed Sheeran. According to UK Music, these stars and others, of course, have supported a 17% growth in music exports experienced over the past year as fans from around the world embrace British singers. There's also a year-on-year increase in live music revenues. Again, that was around 17%. Generated from 26 million visits to British events in 2014. And now there are over 110,000 full-time jobs in the music industry, composing, creating and recording. And in fact, musicians, composers, lyricists, songwriters contributed £1.9 billion alone to the UK economy. A Sheffield firm that was behind the UK's first ever Kickstarter campaign is now looking to raise £315,000 through equity crowdfunding. Pimaroni, which is a DIY electronics manufacturer and an online retailer, are selling 4% of their business. They want to expand across Europe and expand their workforce, which is currently 19 people. Investors in their CrowdCube campaign, which finishes on the 26th of November, can invest from £2,000. The firm was founded in 2012 with a £15,000 seed investment. It now operates from a Sheffield City Centre central office and has grown 80% year on year, turning over £1.5 million. They say the increased popularity of do-it-yourself electronic devices and gadgets, the maker movement, so-called, gave them the idea for Pimaroni, and they're now selling over 125,000 units of their main product, which is a PBAO case for Raspberry Pi computers. There's a free workshop on social media marketing and B2B sales on the 11th of November, 5pm till 7pm at Strip the Willow on Abbeydale Road. It's organised by Business Sheffield as part of their work in support of Small Business Saturday on the 5th of December. It covers social media, marketing, B2B sales. Free refreshments as well. But you need to book. If you want to do so, just phone 0114 223 2345. And coming up on the 19th of November, the Social Enterprise Social at Union Street, 5pm till 6pm. It's the meeting place for anyone interested in social enterprise to exchange ideas, collaborate and celebrate the impact social business provides here in Sheffield. All you need to do is look on Eventbrite, look up Social Enterprise Social, 19th November, Union Street, and you'll find it. And of course, tech for good. Sheffield has a thriving tech scene across the city, all manner of wonderful people. We've just talked about Pimaroni building Raspberry Pi cases. apps to monitor your driving, the Flow. They've been on this program before. And there's even an online platform for booking drone operators here in Sheffield Airstock. Again, they were on this program about a year ago. Andy Mayer from Tech for Good is looking to pull together a group of people from the worlds of both tech and doing business for good to harness energy, creativity and intelligence. And he wants to build something collaboratively that changes the world for good. If you're interested in getting involved, go to the Tech for Good meetup page, meetup.com/Sheffield-Tech-4-Good. Oh, don't forget also the Sheffield Business Awards. They're coming up in December. Close for entries now. It's going to be a nervous period for anyone who's entered and shortlisted, but you'll find out who's won at the Sheffield Business Awards. Just go to Sheffield Business Awards. Again, just type that into Google. You'll find it. And of course, also coming up in December is ChefX, Sheffield's business exhibition get together. And that's taking place at Ponds Forge. Again, we've heard a lot about ChefX on the show. If you want to hear more, just type in ChefX. You'll find it. Now, as ever, we welcome your views on what's going on in business and social enterprise in the city and wider. You can get in touch with this programme and with Sheffield Live by email on jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Text me 07904 272 200. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter @SheffieldLive. You can find me @JamieVeach on Twitter as well. Whether you're starting, whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're self-employed, whether you're an employer, we're keen to hear from you. So let's turn now to our first guest of the day. I'm delighted to welcome to the studio Tim Hart of Grow. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for joining me. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, have I said it right?
You have. In fact, we were talking earlier that Grow Group, Grow is the Irish word for love.
Indeed it is.
And so we're doing a new ad campaign online, which has a rhymes with...
Yes.
Motif. So rhymes with saw, rhymes with straw, etc.
Yes.
Because it's G-R-A with an accent over the A. So
exactly. So when people see it, when people read it, their tendency might be to say Gra Group or whatever. Mm-hmm. But of course, the accent stresses the A. And the campaign, I noticed the campaign when I was looking you up, and Grow rhymes with. It's lovely. And as you say, you've let the cat out of the bag in terms of what Grow means.
Yes, so Grow is the Irish word for love. And I used to live in Dublin. We'll get into that story. But I have quite a connection with Dublin, so I go back and forth. So Grow Group is my new firm that provides marketing mentoring workshops and marketing services for small businesses in the UK and in Ireland.
And you ran a workshop, in fact, in the building that hosts Sheffield Live, in the workstation yesterday, I understand. And we're going to pick your brains in a few mm-hmm. minutes in terms of get some expertise that our listeners can use to help them in their businesses or in their social enterprises. We'll get some great how-tos for listeners in a moment. But just before we go there, you mentioned Dublin, you mentioned Sheffield, mm-hmm. and you mentioned Grow is your new business.
Yes.
You've got quite a track record in entrepreneurship.
Yes, I'd like to say I'm an incurable entrepreneur, but I started my career as a journalist and then went into public relations, and I worked for global firms, mainly in California, for a long time, and then progressively got to the point where I wanted to, like a lot of entrepreneurs, I had the bug, I wanted to have my own name on a door,
yes.
and that's what I did. So I started my own firm, Hart Communications, in San Francisco 10 years ago. And it was it still exists. It's a PR firm and marketing communications firm serving clients in health and wellness, and food and wine, and charities, etc. And now, 10 years on, I was thinking, what should I do next?
Yes.
And what's at the stage in my career after 20 years in this business would be a logical next step? And for me, it's about giving back. All of this experience with all of these myriad clients over the years, I want to be able to give back to the community. And what I really, really love, hence the name, is working with small business. I really enjoy being there with small business owners in the trenches, seeing, you know, eye to eye as entrepreneurs and understanding and helping make a difference for people that really do need the help.
And it's really interesting that you say that, because small businesses make up something in the region of 98% of businesses. I see stats that range between sort of 95 and 99%. Mm-hmm. But those certainly, most businesses by far are small businesses. And even in terms of the number of people employed by small businesses is something like 50% of the workforce. So we hear a lot of government interventions and large employers groups like the CBI are focused on the large businesses that each of those employs a lot of people, obviously very important too for the economy. But we often hear from people, not just yourself, but others saying, you know, is there enough support there for small businesses? Or maybe there is, but maybe small businesses have very specific support requirement needs and, of course, marketing needs and so on. Mm-hmm. And clearly that's where you come in. So you say you love small business. Now, that goes through to the website domain name, doesn't it?
It does. So and thank you for that. It's a very easy thing to remember, which is lovesmallbizbritain.com. Yeah. lovesmallbizbritain.com.
Well, you know, you're putting your statement there in terms of a statement of intent out on the or does what it says on the tin, if you like. So
exactly. Well, the whole purpose behind Grow Group, aside from just finding a different style of working for myself, is that after many years working with small businesses, you're right, they do need a very certain type of help. And it's all grounded in the fact that people work with limited resources, limited time. And as you say, there's not a lot out there for people to really sink their teeth into as far as people understanding what they go through on a daily basis. No. The two main questions I've gotten from small business clients over the years are, what can I do to keep from being overwhelmed by all the marketing choices out there, and how can I avoid making expensive mistakes? These are huge motivators for small businesses. And sometimes that fear, that apprehension based on that being overwhelmed tends to shut people down. They think, oh, I can't do marketing. That's next year. And
I mean, it is sometimes overwhelming for a small business. That's a really good point. So I'm going to specifically ask you then, If a small business listening to this program, what can they do to avoid being overwhelmed then?
Well, it all comes down to having a plan.
Yeah.
And the main principle I tried to get across to folks is that it doesn't matter what size business you have, whether you're a multinational company or you're a solopreneur working out of your second bedroom. The processes and principles of marketing are exactly the same. The only difference between you and, you know, Virgin is budget, but the process is the same. So what I do is work with people on a very step-by-step process through an industry standard marketing plan, which is basically a simple outline, but it helps focus thinking, focuses your attention on why am I doing this? Where is my audience? Who are they exactly? So when you get to things like, you know, should I be on Facebook? Should I be on Pinterest? All these things, those come at the end of the conversation, not at the beginning. And I think one of the challenges with very small business owners, and I'm in there as well, and that is that you get distracted by shiny objects.
Mm.
You know, there's not an email, there's not a week that goes by I don't get an email that's saying, you know, 10 must-have social media tools for small business. I was like, well, 10? I don't have time for 3, but no. Thank you again. And what about the 20 you warned me about last week? And so you feel like you have to keep up. You get nervous. And then, again, you lose track.
But actually, then you spread yourself far too thinly. You don't do anything well rather than concentrating on a few. But also, you said those choices, they come at the end of the process. So first is identifying who your customer is, who you want to work with, who you can solve problems for and support, whatever business you are, whether you're retail, whether you're a service business, who are your customers? You've got to figure that out and you know, what they want and so on. And I suppose it's then, once you've figured out the customer persona, we're going to come on to that in a moment, what is it?
Exactly.
Then you can choose where they are.
And I take that back even one step.
Yeah.
And as part of the workshop, what I do is I have people write down their top 3 business goals that they can quantify. Because it's very easy to run away with, I want to do a creative advertising campaign, or I want to do Facebook or whatever. But to sit down and think about what business goals can you quantify? Is it bums in seats? Is it tickets sold? Is it heads in beds? Whatever the measure is for you, you know, pounds made. In one case last week in a workshop, it was how many pounds do I need to bring in to quit my day job so I can move forward with the business? So really focusing on the business goals, any marketing program should help to drive that. Then when you get into the audience is, these are the people who will help me reach those quantifiable business goals. So we really start at the beginning.
Yes, start there and move through this process that you help people move through and then decide.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who is your audience? Why do they care? And most importantly, what does your audience value? It's very, you know, it's normal for a small business to get very excited about what it is you offer. But that's about you. Go back to the customer. What does the customer value? And remember that any purchase that any customer makes, whether they're in a corporate setting or they're somebody walking into your shop, purchases are made on an emotional level, not based on the facts that you throw at them. Will you give them a good experience? What motivates them to come into your shop? What motivates them in their job? Over the many years, I've worked with a lot of middle managers in large companies. And believe it or not, one of the key emotional motivators is, will this get me sacked?
Mm.
And you have to cope with that and say, how can I help this person look good to their boss once they choose me? So there's a lot of emotion involved. There was someone in a workshop yesterday, and I have to be careful not to say too much because we promise confidentiality in there so people can talk freely. But somebody was concerned about certain customers coming into their shop, not wanting to be seen to shop in a certain way. They want to be cast in a certain way as a stereotype for going into that sort of shop. And so we're looking for different emotional motivators. What's keeping people out? What's going to keep people coming back? But it's very much who are they, what is their life like, and what do they value?
So what people value and people buying, whether it's product or service, on an emotional level. I suppose some people call it finding the pain in terms of, you know, people might buy something because they really, really love it or because it solves a problem. And then you're moving totally, or you're helping your clients move away from thinking that they need to sell on price as well. Do you find that some of your clients, some small businesses, are very price focused and think that they need to sell on price? Because that's just a race to the bottom then, isn't it?
Well, exactly. No one wins that race to the bottom because there's always some bigger fish that would be able to cut their prices and you'll have to cut your prices. However, it may be legitimate that your specific customers are price sensitive, and the emotional side of that is, I feel a victory when I save. Well, I've found this wonderful thing, and guess what? I also saved. I will say one of the things that I thought was funny when I first moved to Yorkshire and was acclimating to the culture here was that when you give a gift at Christmas, for example, it turned out to be a positive that I found this wonderful thing for you and I also saved money.
Yes.
And in the States, you would never tell someone that you got it on the cheap. That's terrible. But here it's like people are excited because you took the extra step and you're a hero because you saved money. So in some ways, perhaps the pricing, but go to the emotional side. Why is it important for your customer to save? Maybe it's a family on a budget. Maybe, again, it's just somebody feeling like that sense of a rush, like I am a professional bargain hunter and look at the deal I just got. So, but that's probably not your only customer.
Quite. Okay, super. So you're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. I'm joined in the studio at the moment by Tim Hart of the Graw Group. Tim is talking about marketing and specifically helping small businesses. Of course, small businesses make up most businesses in the UK. We think something in the region of 98% of businesses in the UK are small businesses. And they have specific requirements. Tim, you run workshops, you assist people. You're talking about your passion for that and literally loving them, hence the name. So we've had some concrete tips that listeners can use there, and we're going to continue with some more tips in a moment. But just before we do that, we're going to have a quick break for one of our ads, and then we'll be back.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. In the studio here, we have Tim Hart of the Graw Group. Tim is talking about marketing. Graw is a social enterprise marketing agency with a difference. And we've been giving listeners some how-tos in terms of thinking about the emotional reasons that people might buy from your business. Now, Tim, we've been discussing creating a customer persona.
Yes. Then,
and thinking about who it is who buys from you. So, first of all, what do you mean by a customer persona?
Well, a customer persona, imagine you're a fiction writer or a film writer and you're creating a character. And what you're doing is you're envisioning who exactly is my customer. And by doing that, you're using this exercise to define who they are, how they live, what motivates them, and then any opportunities for reaching them with your marketing program. So what we've done in our workshops, and this is a tool that's available to download on our site, but it's a template customer persona worksheet. And again, going back to my earlier point that the principles and practices for small business are the same as multinationals. This is a technique that every multinational company uses at a much more complicated, expensive scale, but this is the easy and free version, which is draw a picture in as detailed a relief as you can of who your customer is. So what we've done is we've created a quick two-page form. Things, you know, give your persona a name. Maybe it's, you know, it's Mary or Arthur, whoever it is. What's their age? What's their education? Their gender? Describe their values. What's important to them? Their fashion, their lifestyle characteristics. You know, do they drive in a Range Rover from Derbyshire, or are they working at the uni in a laboratory? What exactly is their day-to-day life like? What are their hobbies, their interests? Where do they travel? What is their internet use like, which actually is a good thing since people are under so much pressure to use social media these days. How do your customers actually use the internet? Are they morning people? Do they work in an office? Do they work in a factory and maybe they're not online all day like a lot of people? The second page that we use, it's more about people in their professional setting. What is their job title? What's their salary? What is their work life like? What's the environment like? If you're selling into a company, what are the purchasing patterns of that company? Who is your customer? I had a client years ago who sold printing to many companies, and we realized after doing this exercise, he was selling to the wrong people. He thought he was going to sell to the marketing people and the advertising people, when it turns out he needed to be selling to the purchasing department because they were responsible for bringing in all new vendors, processing paperwork and all that. And those people had very different emotional and other characteristics and requirements than the marketing people
Yes.
did. Things like they needed to have a certain percentage of small businesses as part of their requirement for their job. So it helped them fulfill their job obligation. So creating this persona, this character, really helps you understand who's there coming into your shop or your business, who may be missing, and create as many as you like, because very, very often you'll find you don't just have one customer. You'll hear people say, well, I understand my customers, and then you go through the process and think, oh, actually, I never thought of those people. And you can have fun with it. It's not a terrible burden of an exercise. Have a glass of wine, sit down with your partner over dinner and go through it. In yesterday's workshop, we started to give them names. Like, there was the skeptic, and there was the novice, and there was the daily gardener. And just people, like, you started to get a sense of who these people are, and each of them will have different motivations, why to come in, what they're looking for. You know, in the case of a shop, it could be people who just, it's their entertainment to come into shops on Saturday and browse. That's fun for them.
Yes.
In other cases, it's a single mom with three kids, no time. She just wants to know that she orders something online, it's going to show up on time and get on with her life.
So this really helps you identify who they are. And as you say, creating multiple personas mm-hmm. might be helpful. I was thinking about this in the context of, I mean, I am not a golfer. I don't play golf, but I was thinking, let's think of an example. If you run a golf store, a golf business, you might do this exercise, and you might identify that some people who play golf and therefore might buy your golf clubs might be retired, 55, 60 plus, cash might not be an issue. Their buying habits, their playing habits, how often they play and what they might buy from you might be very, very different to if you were thinking of other people who might play. I don't know. As I say, I'm not a player myself. Might be, say, 20, in their 20s or 30s, parents, time poor, maybe cash under a lot more pressure, but more online use. And you might reach those two different people who might be potential customers in totally different ways. Is that kind
Yes, and this is also, you know, people hear the term market research and they get a little scared, but this is exactly where research comes in. Ask questions. Go into shops that may be your competitors or in a similar business. See who's shopping there. See who, what kind of people are there. It may surprise you. It very often will surprise you. Then there's also many resources online to research industries and income patterns. It may, for example, let's say the person that we want to come into the shop, we think they're in S11. There's amazing resources about what you can find out about people in a single postcode in Sheffield.
What kind of resources do you recommend?
I'd have to look up the exact websites, but these are studies, population studies.
Yes.
And it goes, but what are people paying for their houses? What education level? What's the employment level? How many are self-employed? It's this amazing treasure trove of stuff out there for free.
So the exercise then that you do, you're really kind of getting down to detail of each customer persona. Mm-hmm. And you help people to do that in your workshops.
Yes.
But as you've said, you have a template which is freely available to download from your website so people can go through this exercise themselves. And do you find that... Well, obviously, you do find that from time to time, people are surprised by this. You use the example of the printing firm, where mm-hmm. they thought they were selling to marketing, and actually they're selling to sort of purchasing department, totally different
yes.
emotional drivers as well for buying. Does that often happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it actually happens with very, very large companies.
Yeah.
They make the same big mistakes that you and I do, and just on a grander scale.
Yes, quite.
But absolutely. Yeah, because very often it's like a runaway train. Oh, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to be seen to be, you know, involved in this media or that. We need to have a cool viral video campaign. All these pressures to keep up. In fact, there's a new thing I keep seeing, a hashtag online, FOMO, FOMO, fear of missing out.
Oh.
And it's creeping into all of our lives.
Yes.
But the idea of, if there's one thing that in our workshops that I remind people of is stop and ask yourself, why am I doing this? And if you can answer yourself convincingly, it's going back to these business goals, you've got a good answer. If it's just, it's what everybody else is doing, stop, have a cup of tea, breathe, yeah. and go back to your plan.
Go back to the plan. Good advice there. Super. Okay, Tim, thank you.
I did quickly want to say that the downloads of the forms, I've got a template marketing plan.
Yes.
That you can just fill in. It's a PDF. And then this template customer persona. Just go to lovesmallbizbritain.com/download. And they're right there.
You can find the templates yeah. there. Excellent. And another exercise that you go through in workshops is a brainstorming exercise. You call
yes.
it a three-minute makeover.
Yes.
And 3 minutes. What can you do in a three-minute makeover?
Well, it's fascinating. What we do is after we go through the whole process of, you know, the marketing planning and calendars and budgets and all the hardcore stuff, then we get into the fun. We start talking about creative principles and what makes a good piece of collateral or a good website. And then we open it up to people in the room. And again, because it's a confidential, safe environment where people can just let go. The best advice doesn't come from me. It comes from other people in the room because they're sensitized now to think about what can I do for my own marketing, and they're giving wonderful feedback. There was a works, and again, to keep confidentiality, there was a woman last week in Dublin who was a fashion designer. She did fashion accessories, and she's gotten awards. She's brilliant at what she does. And we went on her website, and there was one beautiful picture of a woman where you saw her big eyes, and it was just like, wow, what a compelling picture. None of her accessories were photographed on the site. So the first impression of everybody in the room is, well, where's the stuff?
Right.
Oh, well, you know, I'm going to get around. I'm just not sure what to photograph. Okay, that's a clue. And then the language, we looked at the language in the room and talked about, again, who is your customer? She had very general language about this will complement your outfit. I thought, well, these are bespoke pieces. They're very expensive. Is this more like we design these pieces for you to make a statement? You know, we have luxury level, you know, accessories to, you know, that are red carpet ready. And it, just to cast the language a little bit so that it better fits the motivation of her actual customers. So all of this came out in about a minute and a half. Really valuable.
From people sitting
around. Just people in the room because it was their first impressions.
It's a focus, yeah. And it's funny that because we all have, I suppose, assumed knowledge when we're thinking about our own business. And it's always good to get people who... a fresh pair of eyes.
I think, in fact, I say this about myself all the time because even though I've done this for 20 years, the doctor makes the worst patient. So ask for advice, ask for help. And anytime you get feedback, listen, listen, listen. Don't get defensive. Don't feel like you have to defend what you've done. Take it on board. For example, I did a flyer for a workshop that I was passing around Sheffield, and I used one of those shortened URLs to get immediately to the ticket page. And I thought, well, that is just, aren't I just providing people a convenience? The feedback I got from a few people was, that looks funny. I'm not sure I trust that.
Mm.
Ah, so the next flyer comes off. So one of the big things I also recommend is test, test, test.
Yes.
Do things in small quantities. Dip your toe in the water, see how it goes so you can refine it and change it. Don't spend all your budget at once. Try little things. So for spending, you know, I think it was 20 quid at a local printer, I now have a much better sense of what people respond to on the street in Sheffield.
And that's crucial, isn't it? That testing process.
Absolutely.
Say. Refinement and listening and getting taken off.
Well, that's the power of being a small business owner is you don't have to wait for the boss to decide. You decide. You get to make the changes.
And we've heard stats, of course, on this program and published across the media about the growth in self-employment and about the growth in starting up small businesses in Yorkshire and wider. And as you say, one of the sides of this is you're in control. You make the decisions. As you alluded to at the start of the show, it can be a lonely place for people and it can be a confusing place because you're juggling lots and lots of things. You are your own marketing, you are your own everything in a small business often. But you're looking at this from the side, well, actually, you can make very rapid decisions, test things, do what works.
And again, that's in about an hour into the workshop, every time you start to see the faces of panic. In fact, there's even a slide I put up about people screaming like at a Halloween party. But the idea, like, these feelings are normal because people who have been deeply entrenched in marketing for 20, 30 years, they have the same problems. It's just dial it back, step back, take a breath, and remember that if you have a very basic plan that you can stick to, it's not going to take forever. It's not going to cost the earth, but it will save you so much aggravation and frustration down the road because you understand where your money is going. You understand that your choices are well-reasoned, that they're logical, that they make sense for your business. And then you can figure out, you know, again, we talk about what do things cost. Time is a cost.
Time
you can
is
figure
indeed.
Out how you use your time resource.
Yeah, quite. Okay, you're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live. My guest in the studio today is Tim Hart of the Graw Group, and we're talking about small business marketing. So, Tim, we've given some how-tos, we've given some advice, you've given listeners some great tips, and there are some resources on your website, and we'll give the address for that again in a moment or two. But just before we do that, it's always great for listeners to hear about the person behind the business. And you've talked about your career as a journalist, then creating your agency in San Francisco, and now you're based here in Sheffield and in Dublin. So, and at the start of the show as well, I mentioned some stats about the UK music industry. Those stats have just been published. But there was a reason I mentioned those stats as well, because because you are yourself a musician.
I am, yes, in my spare time.
And what's the instrument?
I play the Irish whistle. So I've been playing Irish traditional music for many years, and that's what took me to Ireland in the first place.
And I know that already, of course, because we do have a treat in store for our listeners in a moment or two. Tell me then about your musicianship then. That took you to Ireland.
Yes, so I... I like to say I had the best midlife crisis ever. So when the economic crisis hit in California, like it hit everywhere else, it hit us pretty hard. And at that point, I decided, where's all this going, as you do in midlife? And I had been spending so much time enjoying playing traditional music that I wanted to go to Ireland, the source of this music, and play there and enjoy the culture. And so packed up everything, moved to Ireland and joined a band, as you do.
Fantastic. Yeah, so, dream come true.
Yeah. So I lived in Ireland, in Dublin, for about 4 years before coming to Sheffield. And now I go back once a month. I play with a band, and we're going to be recording in January. So I have to start getting ready for that.
Indeed.
So, yeah, so I have this very interesting island hopping life now, but it's all good.
And Dublin and Sheffield, so mainly in Sheffield, but Dublin monthly.
Yeah.
It's a lovely city to,
to
visit.
It is. Yeah. And you can get there quite cheaply now.
Yeah.
So I either take the Sail and Rail, which is a good bargain.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. From Holyhead, is that?
Yeah. And now Doncaster Sheffield has frequent flights on Aer Lingus that are cheap.
Yes.
So.
Indeed.
Come to one of the gigs.
So, and interestingly, the music scene, of course, in Dublin is famous, but actually the live music scene in Sheffield is rich, it's diverse. There's an enormous amount going on here. In fact, next up on the show, on Sheffield Live after this show, is the folk music program.
And I listen every week, of course.
Wonderful.
Well-positioned, yes.
But there's so much live music going on. There's a great live scene here in the city and in the region as well. Have you got involved in that as
Actually, yes, because as my music has progressed over the years, I play traditional music. I also played folk and other things. But then I also have crossed into jazz, including I sing jazz. And I was very happy to find Sheffield Jazz, the organization here that puts on, it's a charity that puts on top quality jazz concerts. So I'm a volunteer on the committee for Sheffield Jazz now. So all these wonderful things are all kind of coming
together. They're all coming
together. The level of musicianship you can hear in Sheffield is just, it's brilliant.
Indeed, it really is. Yeah, superb. So we're going to play a track of music, which is from your own album, Five After Four, the track's Sheila Coyles. We'll play that in a moment or two. Just before we do, I wanted to give our listeners the opportunity to get hold of those resources. They are free. They will help our listeners. So, Tim, you can give the website address out again.
Thank you. It is lovesmallbizbritain.com/download.
Superb. So, love small business. So, say it again. Sorry.
lovesmallbizbritain.com/download.
Okay, fantastic. Find it there. Now we're going to play Sheila Coyles, Tim Hart from your own album, Five After Four. Mm. And Tim, thank you ever so much for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. That was a track called Sheila Coils by Tim Hart from his album Five After Four. And Tim has been our guest in the studio this morning talking about his marketing agency, The Graw Group, which is itself a social enterprise. Now, Tim, before you go, we've grabbed you. We haven't let you leave the building yet. you've given our listeners some fantastic tips and advice. But I wanted to actually just pick up on the fact of your business is a social enterprise itself. You've got a social purpose. What's your social impact? What are you trying to achieve? What will it be?
Well, we admit that it's different in my industry to have a social enterprise. The tradition for a marketing firm would be to bill by the hour or by the project and move on. But after many years in the business, I wanted to give something back. And the thing I think that's most important to give back is marketing, education, and guidance so that people can make informed choices about their companies. But also, I believe that marketing as a tool in your business can help strengthen your business, and strong local businesses mean strong local communities. And you hear every day about the big multinationals in the news. You don't often hear a lot about the small people who are responsible, as you say, for basically most of the commerce in the country and most of the employment. But it's this silent majority that really needs help. So building local communities one small business at a time, I think, is quite a laudable idea.
Lovely. And on the theme of building communities, social impact, social enterprise, it's time now to turn to our second interview of today. So, Tim, thank you for joining
me. Thank you again.
And listeners, do go to Tim's site and use those resources. They will help you. Our second interview of today is with Marie Mackay, and she is the Global Head of Social Enterprise at the British Council. I caught up with her 2 weeks ago at an event in London called Critical Mass, which brought together social investors and impact investors with social entrepreneurs, not only from the UK, but from all over the world, to find out what Marie does and what the British Council does. Now, if you're interested in the whole concept, 2 weeks ago on the show of the 23rd of October, we had a big segment with other interviews about impact investing, social enterprise and impact investing. And that's still available on the Sheffield Live website on the podcast page Business Live, and it's a show from the 23rd. But we haven't yet played this interview with Marie Mackay. It's a new interview. We're going to hear from her now. So, Mary, we've been talking at Critical Mass this year about international social enterprise and social investment. And with regard to the British Council's programme, you're working with social enterprises in 25 countries. What are the problems and challenges that are most common for social enterprises worldwide to face, in your experience?
Okay, so problems or challenges, I guess, would be partly about the right kind of support systems. So having the tools and skills that they need to really understand how they can grow their businesses. Access to funding is one that comes up often. The ability to access the right kind of capital. I think there's also issues perhaps just about being able to engage in a wider conversation. So, you know, to be able to see what they're doing as part of a wider set of efforts, because typically, and I think this is beginning to change, but it's still early stages, typically social enterprise or social entrepreneurs do tend to sit outside the way we think about mainstream economies and mainstream business. And, you know, that can be lonely sometimes, both in terms of, you know, feeling part of a growing economy, and also in terms of feeling like they have the right kind of, you know, government or other ecosystem support that typical economies would have. So I think those are some of the common challenges to, you know, organisations who are running social enterprises around the world.
And these are challenges that won't be unfamiliar to people
exactly
listening here in the UK. And how does the British Council then go and make positive interventions to support social enterprises in overcoming these challenges?
So we work, first of all, with many different partners. So the role of the British Council is to develop trust between the UK and countries around the world. That's something we've been doing for 80 years and with a presence in 110 countries. So what we have found with the social enterprise agenda, which has grown very quickly for us, is that there is a huge appetite for people to work with an organisation which is about convening and helping to have, you know, the right kind of dialogues in those countries which take into account, you know, what's happening in particular markets, not in a way which is about imposing what the UK is doing in any way, but is allowing that expertise that the UK has and is recognised as having to be fed into a sort of wider conversation in other countries that is of value to them. So it really is about that mutuality piece. It's very collaborative, so we're working with many partners in the UK sector, and we are also working with many partners in the international markets that we are delivering our programme. So you have a very rich conversation of practitioners from, you know, markets around the world and the UK together thinking about, you know, what kind of issues need to be addressed. And that, you know, just to sort of say a bit more about the kinds of things that we do, that can be anything from delivering research and scoping work to really think about, you know, in India or in Ghana, what does the current ecosystem look like and what would be some of the opportunities to think a bit more about you know, policy engagement and capacity building programmes, to training and working with, you know, social entrepreneurs themselves to develop their, you know, skills and expertise to build businesses.
So a collaborative, enabling, and very much not a one-way process either.
Yes, absolutely. Collaboration for me is absolutely key to, you know, the way that we operate, the and the, you know, and the opportunity itself, actually, is people want to work. Because a big feature of the social enterprise movement, I think, is that, you know, we're not talking about a particular set of individuals who are born as social entrepreneurs and, you know, looking to do something different. We're talking about a movement which is really about thinking about the way our economies work or don't work and what that means for the future of corporates, business, for the future of, you know, academia and education systems, for the future of international development and how that needs to evolve. So there's a real convening opportunity to bring together those different players in different markets and have that conversation.
And convening has been a word that's been used throughout the 2 days here. Another topic of discussion, of course, has been transparency and accountability in terms of impact measurement. Is it possible, do you think, to move to a globally recognised standard of impact measurement? What would that look like?
The question of what it looks like, I think there are probably a lot of people better placed to say than me. My view is that there are tools out there. So, you know, we had a couple of great examples over the course of the last 2 days with the Social Progress Imperative and also with the work that PwC is doing with Tim. These would be two examples of really coherent ways of thinking more broadly than typical financial returns or GDP. Those tools are out there. I think there is, you know, we talked about the 200 years it's taken to get to a point of financial accounting and accounting as we now recognise it. I think there is a journey for sure for the social enterprise movement to go through, or for, you know, the world to go through, to get to a point where there is enough of a sense of standard accounting that we can, that it mobilises. I think the issue at the moment is that because as an issue it's absolutely widely recognised and it's something that nobody would disagree about, but in terms of the models it's still a very fragmented conversation. So I think what we need is two things. One, we need enough of a sense of unity around that for it to mobilise people and to give that sense of accountability, which is about, which then allows progress, because that's really what we're looking for. And the second piece for me is that's come out over the past couple of days and something that I spend a lot of time thinking about is how we get that sort of additional voice from, you know, the people who we're most interested in having opportunity that they don't currently have. So there is something about accountability to a much wider range of individuals who are involved in that. And I think that's going to involve a level of innovation in the way we think about measuring that will be quite different, actually. Maybe as simple as, let's ask people if it works, has this made a difference to you? And then let's trust that if they say yes, then that's a good thing, and find some kind of way of aggregating that. So those would be my remarks on that.
Mary, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Mary Mackay speaking with me at the Critical Mass event in London 2 weeks ago, which was an event focusing on social enterprise and social investment. She was talking about impact measurement and globally agreed practice as those start to emerge. Now, you've been listening today to Business Live on Sheffield Live. My name's Jamie Veitch, and in the studio today we've had Tim Hart of The Graw Group, a social enterprise marketing agency focusing on supporting small businesses. Tim gave us some fantastic tips, advice and resources that listeners can use. And if you've just tuned in and you've missed that, don't panic, because the podcast of today's show will, as ever, be up on the Sheffield Live website, as all shows are. Go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, find Business Live, and then you'll be able to find the podcast of today's show, the 6th of November. That'll go up at around 11 o'clock today. We will be back on air next Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. So thank you ever so much for listening today, and come back next week. But don't go away right now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme, Thank Goodness It's Folk. That's on from 10 all the way through to noon. So stay tuned for that. In the studio with me today has also been Sangeeta, our sound engineer. So my thanks to her, and my thanks to you for listening. Back next week, and we're going to play out now with a track of music, which is Nick Drake, Northern Sky.